Did I do that right? And then we call Jesus the Lamb, and in that lamb spirit, we discover his selflessness. There's also a phrase we use. It's the Spirit of Christ. I'm sure we've got others. Anybody can think of another one offhand that we use that is summed up in these a lot? Christ crucified, the Lamb, Spirit of Christ, the nature, yeah, the nature of Christ. I'll just put nature, but the nature of Christ. Okay. That's enough. My hand's getting tired. And y'all are saying the plan, you know, it's like, okay. But they're right. There are many terms that we use and terms that other people use, all of it pertaining to this selflessness. And I'm just going to tell you, I think it is so absolutely pitiful that the phrase the selflessness of Christ or the selflessness of the Lamb hardly at all communicates the depth of that selflessness. Because every time I think of it, I think if we went through just a pittance of what Jesus went through, we would be screaming and throwing a fit and, you know, upset that, you know, calling half of it the devil when it's God, you know what I mean? So, yeah, well, I Shay said I already do that. Well, I think we all do. I think he's right on. He's just being kind by saying I. But there is a heart to know the Lord. There is a desire. There is a drive to be conformed to the image of Christ. There is that within us. And it's something Ben was sharing with me at halftime, you know, that there is this thing that says, I want Christ more than I want me. Salvation is a free gift, free and easy, but with much tribulation, you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, where he's government, you know. And, you know, the salvation doesn't cost you a thing. But Paul said, I count the loss of all things to know him. To know the Lord, to really know him, it's going to cost you. So, all right. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and I will tell you that we will try to quit as close to 9 as we can do, even though we've already used a bunch of time. But we will do that for several reasons. One is, I'm tired. I'm jet lagging a little bit here, and my wife just informed me that my eyes are bloodshot. So for you out there, it looks like America, red, white, and blue. We've discussed, we mentioned in the past when we got into these scriptures, and of course when we're in 1 Corinthians 8, that includes Romans 14. But we've mentioned that the knowledge group, that there was a tendency towards pride and being puffed up. That was clear throughout the scriptures. We were given so many examples of literally using those words. But then we moved on, and we saw even closer in this chapter and in Romans 14, this thing of sinning against your brother. And that's the terminology that's used. But then we even took it further. And we discussed last class about a division And we've discussed that before, but we did discuss it last class, and we ended with it, about division and how that destroys the temple of God. All right. Now, again, while we would see somebody murdering your neighbor as really horrible, the Lord finds these kind of things as really horrible. I'm just telling you. And there is a greater sin yet that we haven't really discussed too much. And as a matter of fact, the best scripture for this is over in Romans 14, which, remember, Romans 14 is really dealing with the same subject that 1 Corinthians 8 is. It just gives us a little more information. And we did allude to this a little bit last class, but it's in Romans 14, verse 15. And if thy brother be grieved with thy food, now walkest thou in love. Destroy not him with thy food for whom Christ died. So Paul sees the division that's going on here and those who are sowing it. He sees it as sinning against Christ. But that doesn't mean anything unless we understand what that means. He gets specific here when he says sinning against Christ who died for them. Now that's, I don't have the power within me to even show what I've seen, much less what the Lord means. What I've seen is so small, but it's big in my puny little being because I see the spirit and nature of that death being violated by his own people. That's how it appears to me. And I think to Paul. Paul sees the stand of those with knowledge not just as a sin against believers, but specifically against those for whom Christ died. That they might say, well, we sinned against our brother. But the Lord would say, you have sinned against the very selfless act that I did for them because you won't even, you know, give up a few things for them. So, another way to say that is that they are sinning against Christ in his selfless giving by claiming to be aligned with him but living contrary to him. And what I also see in this is the heart of Paul who, man, I'm just telling you, this guy has been captivated by Christ crucified. He sees the selfless way of Christ on that cross as the pinnacle of what we have been brought into. And when he sees, he feels, you know, because he said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. And when he feels his mind and his heart and his being with that cross and then drops his eyes to the earth, to his body, and sees that people won't even give up eating a little bit of this or that, something that was offered to an idol for one whom Christ died for and went to extremes of rejection and death. And he's just shocked because he lives in one realm. He lives in Christ. He lives in that reality. As I said, I'm determined not to know anything but that. But that determination he's having a hard time with when he's looking at the body of Christ, who are tearing down God's temple, which is Jesus' body. But this is his body, and when he lived in his physical body, his own singular body, he constantly was self-giving, but now he's broadened himself to a larger body, and he's seeing acts totally contrary to who he is. Does this kind of make sense? (Clears throat) Christ gave up incredible privileges, rights, and freedoms for weak and ignorant ones. I put that down because the knowledge group were looking down on these who, you know, well, you just don't know the scriptures and you don't know the freedom we have in Christ and you're just bound by the law and you're just weak and you're pitiful and you're, you know, ignorant. But we were all weak and ignorant at one time. You know what I mean? I mean, we didn't know. There's so much of this we had no clue about. So now that we know, so we're going to be not like Christ. We're going to be superior to other people. Yes?
Yeah, we know this much. We're still weak and ignorant.
That's right. Shay said, we know this much, but we're still ignorant. And for those listening to this on CD or something, it's a little tiny amount. I held my hand up to signify copying Shay. All right. So Christ gave up incredible privileges. I mean, he was seated at the right hand of God in heaven. He came down here. But that wasn't the worst of it. He was misunderstood. He was attacked. He was falsely accused. He was beaten. He was scorned. His reputation was torn away. His clothes were torn away. And he did that for weak and ignorant ones. So Paul says, so we ought to be willing to forego certain things also, for to walk in Christ crucified is to forego your rights. I know one got that, and that's good. Because to walk in Christ crucified, folks, is to live for the benefit of others, and in many cases, it's the ones who don't appreciate one iota of what you've done. In many cases, they're not even aware of what you've done. They don't know the care. They accuse you of something that you're not. Well, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that we go through. We're going, well, why am I going through this? Why is the Lord allowing this? Because you're wanting the Lord in a real way and not just religion. Who, you know, my God, we don't need to raise up more children and more people just to be religious, you know. Well, just read your Bible every once in a while, go to church, and man, you know, our kids need Jesus as much as we do, and to find the real Jesus. And the only way that's going to happen, folks, is in the trials and in the situations, that's where we show this Jesus that's within us, Christ crucified. For him, the only issue, this is talking about Paul, for Paul, the only issue is that of Christ crucified and the believer's conformity to that reality and way of life. Now, you know, we from our last class know that Paul taught the cross of Christ. We know that he taught the reality of being in Christ. We know that he taught the revelation of Christ. We know that. But much of that, folks, is in the realm of theology. Until God reveals it to you, you're just teaching theology. Amen? Okay. Well, I'm going to say it like this, although we know this isn't the proper way of saying it. When you teach Christ crucified, you're actually teaching ethics, not theology. You get my drift by saying that. We're teaching, you know, an ethical way of living and to be guided, but we're not. Because you can follow the ethics of that, and it's just religion. It must be Christ crucified. That's the difference. You can't teach Christ crucified. You can only see him and live him. All right. So, The 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians, is a microcosm of what the whole Bible and the whole of the 8th chapter is about. Let's go ahead and turn there to 1 Corinthians 10. We have not gotten into this chapter heretofore, but we shall now. Now, remember, these Corinthians, Paul is trying to communicate to them Christ crucified, right? Right? Mallory says yes because she lives in Corinth. I mean, I looked up and she's going, I went, you know what? She knows what she's talking about because she's a Corinthian. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's see. Let's look at verse 23 and 24. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Or the word expedient means profitable. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. What does the word edify mean? What is it in relationship to? Building the temple. It is the difference between being a barbarian that tears down the temple and a temple builder. Yes. Amen. Mallory, who does know the Greek, says that the word edify actually is not just to build, but is to build a house. And in the case that we keep getting over and over, it is the house of God. And so she just said that I'm right. Just kidding. Yes. I think what? I think I've been a barbarian. Well, I think we all are. You know, I mean, running around screaming at other groups or other people or other, you know, our brothers here or whatever. You know, it's, I mean, here's the thing with knowledge, folks. And this is what Paul's talking about. Knowledge puffs up. And it divides in the sense that if, you know, knowledge doesn't divide, but how we react to knowledge causes us to be puffed up, and that's what causes the division. It's the pride. It's being puffed up that causes the division. We should, now listen carefully, we should be able to hold Bible knowledge correctly and walk in love toward our brothers and sisters. You know? And we'll see that as we go. We'll see how Paul really shows that that is supposed to be the case. Okay, also verse 28. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? Okay, and then verse 32, give no offense neither to the Jews nor to the Greeks nor to the church of God, even here's, I know you have not saturated in this book like I have, but this is so Paul. He says something like this. Now, if you get this from any other minister in the United States or anywhere, you know, you're not going to get it the same way. But here's what he says. Give no offense, neither to the, you know, but the point being, give no offense. And then he defines it in verse 33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they, in this case, that they may be saved, that they be enriched. Do y'all see that the issue is not salvation? The issue is Christ crucified. Christ crucified led to salvation, did it not? You don't even have to see Christ crucified. You can just look at the cross and realize that that led to your salvation. But if you look deep enough, you'll see that this self-giving one actually is what led to the cross that led to salvation. That's real important. Because he's basically in this last verse here, verse 33, basically what he's saying in a nutshell is exactly what Philippians 2 is about. Really, the book of Philippians. He says, give no offense. Doesn't matter whether it's to the Jews or the Greeks or the church, because that pretty much includes the known world of his day. It was divided up into Jews, Greeks, or the church. That was it. And he says, don't give offense. Okay. But his definition of not giving offense is completely different than the regular thinking of the regular churches and, you know, even us. Oh, I wouldn't want to offend you. I'm going to try not to offend you. Do you realize that within that can be puffed up pride? That can be deprecating to someone else? It can be putting someone else down? It can be, you may not do what would have offended them, but you're doing it for some lowly idiot that surely I'm not the only bad person here that, you know, has done that. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, oh, well, okay, I won't do that because I wouldn't want to offend you. Oh, my God. The spirit behind that is just horrible. But that's not Paul's spirit. He says, give no offense even in this way. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit or benefit or interests. Anybody might remember that from Philippians when I was sharing that. Not seeking my own benefits or my own interests, but there's the other side of the coin. The head's side is, or the tail side is, that I'm not seeking mine own. The head side is I seek the profit of others. The positive side is I'm seeking someone else's profit. The negative side is I'm not seeking my own interests, my own benefits, my own satisfaction, my own goals, my own. All right. Now, I'm just telling you, if any of you ever go back and re-listen to that Philippians class, in light of this, well, really this whole thing, but I mean this right here, it's going to blow you away because this is what Paul was declaring as the can't remember the exact wording I used, the way that currency of God, the way that he functioned in these things and what was of value to him, the currency of God. And that is not just that he is seeking benefit for other people, but that at the whole time what is at work in him is no self-interest. None. That's the way Jesus did it. You got to see that in Jesus when they're slapping him and doing all this stuff and he's not speaking up. Trust me, if you got self-interest, you're going to be pushed to a point where you're going to speak up. you know, is the only two bad people here me and Mallory? I mean, but I mean, come on. Even as I please all men in all things. Okay, well, that's pushing it further than us. We'll do that for someone that we like. We will please them because we like them. Or we will do that to please them, please someone, because... hope I didn't throw your cameras off. I just sat down at the right hand of... anyway. because of how it'll make us look, we will do something to please somebody because of how it will make us look, either in their eyes or in the eyes of the church or in the eyes of someone, because self-interest is, let's put it this way. Self is at the heart of our interest. All right. How do you break that? You don't break it. You don't. There, with you is a death. With him, he is the resurrection and the life in you. And that life is selfless. He thinks of others. He, you know, I mean, he goes to hell for others. He takes mocking and shame for others. And it's not even worthy people. I mean, there really and truly nobody was worthy. Can we not face that? There's none good. But it didn't matter to him. Why? Well, we can say, well, because he values all human life. Okay, well, that's sweet. But the truth is that he's just selfless. He doesn't love for what he gets back. He just loves. You know, it's, what is the old church way of saying it? It's unconditional. Okay, But I mean, is there any real power behind saying it like that? I mean, I'm sure there is, but we're so used to it that it's like, well, it's unconditional love. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, wait till they slap you in the face the first time. Oh, man. Yeah. That's right. It's just a phrase. It's just a word. We're so used to it that we've lost the meaning. Yeah, Jim?
Along that same line, it's like, yeah, love unconditionally, but don't push me to the limit.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim says we love unconditionally, but don't push me to the limit. No, that wasn't his comment. He was telling me that. Just kidding. Yes, Kelly?
A lot of stuff and call it Jesus, but we cannot fake this.
All right. Tony said this can't be faked. He's talking about to the degree of this selflessness. Because we can all act, like Jim said, we can act selfless. You know, it's unconditional, but don't push me too far. But what was the last part of it?
We can fake a lot of stuff, but we can't fake this.
We can fake a lot of stuff, but we can't fake this. And that's just, you know, and let's face it, we've all tried to fake it. You know, that's our first line of defense, to stay in step with God and this church or whatever, this teaching, is to fake what is not yet real in us. The only thing that keeps anyone pressing forward is a genuine, as I commented on what Ben shared, a genuine desire to say, you know, with all my heart, I would really rather have Jesus than me, Jesus in me than me in me. Well, you can't force that on people, and you can't talk them into it. If it's in their heart, they'll pursue Jesus in that manner. And if it's not in their heart, it's, you know. All right. Okay, so let me just, because we are getting close to time. But in 1 Corinthians 10 comes back showing the same pattern of Christ crucified. That's the ones we just read. So though they had so much knowledge concerning, get ready, biblical things. I think we were talking about this in Ireland, you know, and when I first got saved, to be scriptural was everything. Until you realize that there's a whole lot of stuff that, you know, is in the scripture. I mean, for example, if you read the account of Job, a bunch of those guys are going through stuff that's just dead wrong. But it's scripture. What is it, Elihu, or isn't it Elihu, the one that did hear from the Lord? Satan took Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down, for it is written. Well, he could have said, it's scriptural. Well, folks, the scriptures reveal Christ. And I mean this as sweet as I can, but there are so many religious people who have taken up the scriptures to be able to hurt and maim others. Okay? I mean, there are people who are just zealots for God, as it were, and they learn the scriptures to make it a sword in their hand that they can cut other people up. They study the scriptures so much so that they can slice you up because you don't know it so well. Anyway, you probably know some of that. It's just a fact. We have to be careful with that. And this whole 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians is telling that also, so I'm going to reread that again. So though they had so much knowledge concerning biblical things, they did not know what spirit they were of. Remember in Luke 9:55, Jesus said that to the disciples. He was passing through Samaria on his way to Jerusalem to die on the cross. The Samaritans wouldn't stop wanted him to stop, and he kept going, and so they got upset with Jesus. So the disciples wanted to just rain fire down on him. Now they're mad at Jesus, and they're trying to, and the Samaritans are mad at Jesus, and the disciples are trying to protect Jesus from ill treatment. And so they're ready to take the sword of a miracle and rain fire down on them. Same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came out to take Jesus to crucify him. And Peter pulls out his sword, cuts off the ear of Malchus, and Jesus doesn't rebuke the guys who are wrong and who don't understand and who are accusing him falsely and are going to murder him. He didn't jump on them. He jumps on his disciples and says, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. If you live by hurting others, you're going to die by being hurt. So they do not see their actions as possibly destroying their brother for whom Christ died. Therefore, their actions are the opposite of dying to their rights and are therefore a violation of Christ crucified. I've got a whole slew of scriptures out of 1 Corinthians 8, 10, and also Romans 14 to show that is... That is the issue with Paul. It is the issue with Paul. And I don't want to say that. Okay, we're probably going to go ahead and stop right now. I do want to say before we completely stop that the next class will be on do the knowledge group have rights. Did we have any other comments from anybody? Okay, why don't you just bring a few of them up here, or several, and we're going to... What? Oh, sure. Okay, she's going to read them from there, but you're going to have to... Oh, good. Tell her when you're ready. Okay, what we're going to do is we've had some wonderful comments from Tony and Matt, and I haven't heard anything from Mary. Is she still there? Yeah. Hi, Mary.
I'm just going up here. So I'm just going to start with the one after This Can't Be Faked.
Okay. Hopefully they're going to be able to hear these. So you might have Sam a little loud so we can hear them too. Okay.
So Geraldine said, building up the body stops me getting better, which is old creation stuff. Tony said, I've tried. It doesn't work, just like Job did. The pure spirit of Christ within us all, but not us. Amen. Geraldine, yes, Tony, Job is an amazing example of our tenacity to improve self. Edmund, yes, big time. Tony, we don't want to lose reputation. Geraldine, Randy, stop pressing all my sore buttons. I need Jesus. Okay, Sharon, that's right, Randy. We must expound on that word, unconditional. We need to see Jesus more and more. Edmund, under his law, they weren't worthy, and he is the fulfillment of that law. So why you do it, Jesus? Gotta be something out of our realm of understanding. Geraldine, it's amazing that he can get this desire into our hearts. Tony, yes it is. Edmund, it really is. Born from above, a pure conversion that is God in humanity, transforming us from the inside out. Geraldine, beholding the Lord, we are changed into that same image, yes. Tony, we can only violate his nature if we have his nature. Geraldine, oh Jesus, you are more worthy than that in me. Mary Grace, I'm here, Randy, just taking all this in. And Matt Healy's writing something down. Nice haircut, Randy. Matt Healy.
What do you think of this?
Well, they're all writing now. Let's see. Geraldine, cheap one, Matt. That's from Ed. He looks Baptist. That's from Tony. I think I got the message. Get your hair cut. Love the goatee.
It's not a goatee.
Oh, here we got another one from Matt coming. Oh, and Geraldine. Oh, they're all, Mom's writing too. Hard to see on video. That's from Matt. It's all Deb's design. That's from Edmund. Edmund, he can't respond. And my mom's writing. She can write for a while and see.
What did Albert say?
What did who say? Albert?
Yeah, when I originally grew some of this stuff. And we're sitting in the living room, and Albert's sitting over there. And, you know, some things can disturb him, let's put it like that. I said, Albert, we've been sitting here for an hour talking. I need to ask you a question. What do you think of this? And I sort of rubbed my beard, and he did like he usually does. He looks and just stares for a long time. I mean, he doesn't say anything, and I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for it to be, well, you know, some negative thing. And finally, he goes, impressive. I mean, I lost it. I mean, honestly, as hard as I've laughed in a long time, because I wasn't expecting anything like that. I was expecting, you know, correction or something. And the word impressive is not one I use regularly in my vocabulary. So it was hilarious. Okay, we need to stop the barrage. And yes. Good. Praise God. Amen. All right. Let's close with prayer. Father, we do thank you for your son. We thank you that you are enlightening us to what you have given us, to him whom has been given unto us. We don't want religion, Lord. We don't want to just fake it. We don't want to just be trying to convince ourselves of things. Father, we want the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see Jesus, to comprehend Christ crucified as well as the cross of Christ. So we hang on to one another as if we've all been thrust into a sea with a huge wreck of the Titanic not being as indestructible as we thought it was. We hang on to one another, waiting to see the true life and the true way. We ask you to do this by your grace and your mercy and through your precious nature. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye, all, on Skype.